Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, January the 12th, 1986. May the Lord bless as we worship together around the precious Word of God on this second Sunday of 1986. God bless you. At this time, our choir led by Brother Tom Watts is going to come and sing for us a song that says, "Will Jesus Find Us Watching?" I trust He will. And not only watching, but working. God bless the choir as they sing. Place, Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." We're supposed to be about our Father's business. This time, Brother White is going to come to read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer. We would like to give his prayer request. Some of y'all probably know Maggie Honeycutt. She works at the vocational school, or did. She's a nurse down here at the hospital. We do want to be praying for her. She is not doing too well at all right now. And also, Thelma Johnson, another nurse that works down here at the hospital, will be having surgery before too long. Let's be praying for Thelma Johnson. This is Connie Johnson's wife, who works at, Connie works at the vocational school also. We also want to be praying for, continue to pray for Elmer Davis and the needs that he has at this time. Also, Brother Parsons, as he will be coming home this week, I believe. He is out of the hospital, and I believe he's up in Ohio now. And they're bringing him home today, I believe. So let's be praying for Brother Lester and the needs he has. I called Brother Murdy Caldwell on the phone this week, and he is not doing well at all right now. Let's be praying for him, as well as Anna Campbell down in North Carolina, and Brother Combs' wife over in the nursing home. Can't pray for my mom, Also Mrs. Back and Beth Johnson. She's in Lexington. Ms. Abrams. Be praying for Pam's sister, Grace Combs, and Ms. Barker, and also Ms. Maud Barker. Brother John Baker's brother, Frank Baker, Brother Lafer Giles. And this last name in our bulletin here, we haven't had this little boy's name in our bulletin for quite a while now, but right now he is not doing well again. Jonathan Honchel. He's a little fella, about a year old, I guess, now, isn't he? Wardy and Mary Lou Honchel's little boy. Let's continue to lift him up in prayer. Let's be praying for also those taking part in the Bible drills at 6 o'clock every Sunday evening. And also let's pray for our Good News Revival, Good News America Revival in April. Let's remember this service that we're in right now, too. I know God's able to speak to each one of our hearts. Brother White, you come and read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer.
The scripture is taken from Mark chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray to him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and has had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that when we were in this condition as the maniac of Gadara, that you come and saved us. And you didn't choose to take us home with you, but you left us here, Father, on this earth to be a witness to our friends and neighbors. We pray, Father, that you would give us the strength to carry out this commission that you have given each one of us as Christians here this morning. We know, Father, that we need you every day. We need you in everything that we do. We pray this morning, Father, that you'd be with us and continue to guide us. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. This morning, Father, we pray for those that are sick, those who are mentioned in the bulletin, those who are mentioned in the pulpit here this morning, those upon the hearts of all the people that are here. We pray for them this morning, Father, that you would take care of the physical needs of their body. We pray, Father, that you would heal them, give them a chance to go home and tell others what great things you have done for them. We thank you, Father, for the great things you have done for us. We pray, Father, that you'd be with us and guide us in our service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our last hymnal, let's get our hymn book and turn to page 190. Rescue the Perishing. Let's stand and sing first, second, and fourth stanzas.
Rescue the perishing. Forgive.
Thank you once again that we can gather in thy house this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this land of freedom and opportunity where we have the freedom to worship as we please.
Amen.
We just thank you, Lord, for each one here. We just pray, Lord, that whatever the needs of those here this morning are, that their needs, they could be helped with their needs this morning, Lord, by hearing the word preached. And we just pray, dear God, for Brother James, that you would speak through him this morning, Lord, that you would use him, that we all would receive a blessing from being in thy house. We just pray, Lord, for this offering. We pray for each giver, and we pray for the gift, Lord, that it might be used, that we could see people saved in this church, Lord, that they would walk down the aisle, confess thee as Lord and Savior in their lives.
Amen.
We just thank you, dear God, for your great love for us. We thank you for your many blessings to us. And we just pray that you would be glorified in this service this morning. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Here on business for my King. That's the name of that song. That's why we're here today. Tom and Fred are going to come to sing for us just before the message.
Thank you.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches of gold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or men. I'd rather be led by his
trust that's your testimony this morning, that you'd rather have Jesus than anything or anyone. We got a thing from the it was from the Israel ministries, the Friends of Israel, and I mentioned this at our watch night service. You can have everything but Christ and have nothing. If you have nothing but Christ, you have everything. I trust you know the Lord this morning as your own personal Savior and Lord. Today is Witness Commitment Day. And the theme for this day is what the title of our first song was, I Love to Tell the Story. It will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His life. There is no one, I don't believe, that's going to march down the streets of gold in heaven and they're going to brag on what they have done. But we're going to be bragging on what Christ has done. Every one of us are put here to be a witness. If we're saved and know the Lord, we have something to tell. We're saved to serve and told to tell. And we have a message to give to someone. We're going to take as our key verse today, the 19th verse that Brother White read for us, of Mark chapter 5, it says, verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. This man wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said no. Look what he told him to do. He said, go home to to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Father, we're thankful this morning that we can look into your word today and can know that your word is true. Again, Lord, we just commit this service into your hands and pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be magnified through it. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen. Go home and tell. Someone said the people that are the hardest to witness to are your own relatives. And I guess it shouldn't be that way. They know us better, I guess, than a total stranger. But Jesus says here to this man, go home to thy friends and tell them what the Lord has done for you. I believe this, every person has something to tell. Everyone is unique because all of us are different. Every one of us has a story that's different from someone else, how we met the Lord. We have a story to tell. If the Lord has done anything for us, we need to be willing to tell it, to tell it to someone. I believe it was a D.L. Moody, or one of the wonderful men of bygone days, wonderful preacher of the gospel. He said that he had a policy of witnessing to one person, at least one person, every day. And someone said to him, what if the opportunity doesn't arise? And he said, if we will look to the Lord, he will put somebody in our pathway that we can witness to every day. Every day. I was reading in the Daily Bread this morning about a man. A policeman was going down the street of Chicago in the early 1900s. And he saw a man with his head bowed right close to the Pacific Garden Mission. And the policeman thought the fellow might have something wrong with him. He might be drunk or something. But you know what? When he asked the fellow, is anything wrong, fella? He said, I'm here. I'm Billy Sunday. He said, I'm here thanking God for having met his son here in this place. I'm praying. And the policeman said, don't worry, I'll not let anyone interrupt you anymore. I'll protect you. Billy Sunday had been saved in the Pacific Garden Mission. A wonderful baseball player turned evangelist. He met the Lord, and that made all the difference in the world. And meeting the Lord today will make all the difference in your life. I guarantee it. I appreciate the title of our Sunday school lesson this morning, The Inwardness of Morality. Anything worth anything in your life happens in your heart. And it works outward. It shows by the life you live, the places you go, the things you say. Jesus makes a difference. We have a story to tell. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. My friend, every one of us gathered here this morning who are saved, that is what the Lord did for us. He brought us up out of a horrible pit. The pit of sin. Out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. That speaks to me of stability. Not anything wishy-washy about a rock. The solid rock. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. We have a story to tell. A story to tell. There was a group of people one time discussing what God's Word says about ye are the salt of the earth. And someone said the salt imparts a desirable flavor. Another one said salt preserves from decay. And finally, a Chinese Christian girl said, spoke out of a heart of experience. She said, salt creates thirst. And there was a sudden hush in that room as everyone was thinking, have I ever made anyone thirsty for the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I ever made anyone thirsty for Jesus, the fountain of living water? This fellow was told to go home to your friends and tell what the Lord has done for you. First of all, let's look at what people have said about witnessing. First of all, Jesus. When he began his earthly ministry about the age of 30, he was going down along by the Sea of Galilee and he saw some men who were fishers. You know what he said? He said, follow me. And I want to emphasize that word me. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. During the month of January, that's going to be our call to worship that the choir sang this morning. Fishers of men. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The last words that Jesus said on this earth before he ascended back to heaven, he said in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Why is the Holy Spirit inside of us? That you and I may be witnesses for the Lord. He said, you can be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He just branches out. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, that's north of Judea, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is why we have missionaries in about 105 countries. I'm reading a book that Jim McKinley wrote. Jim McKinley, we heard from him just a few days ago. He's been in Bangladesh for about 30-some years. 1948, I believe, he went there. And they're still there. He wrote a book, Death to Life, Bangladesh. And hopefully he'll get to be with us about a year or so from now when they come on furlough. God needs witnesses. Solomon said in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Philip Bliss wrote a song that says, let the lower lights be burning. On the front of your bulletin this morning, there is a picture of a lighthouse. A lighthouse. We need to let our light shine. And I believe this with all my heart. If we will let our light shine, God will put it where it can be seen. If you are a Christian, you have a story to tell. He that winneth souls is wise. The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 126 and verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. One of our songs for the evening service is bringing in the sheaves. We're going to be preaching on witnessing again tonight. Every one of us needs to be a witness. You know what a witness does? They tell what they know. If you have been to the cross and have partaken of this wonderful salvation, you have a story to tell. You may not have gone down the road of sin very far. But I tell you, the Bible says all have sinned. And every one of you here today, every one of us has a story to tell if we know the Lord. Among others that came forward during the service was a lady who appeared to be more concerned about her spiritual state than the others. And she said to the preacher, "The reason I came forward in this service is because I feel that I want power to put in a word for Jesus." She said, "I want power to be able to put in a word for Jesus." I tell you, all of us need strength. Maybe to walk up to a total stranger and say, "Are you saved? Do you know the Lord?" May this be the prayer of each one of us. Lord, I want power to put in a word for Jesus. A fellow in a Michigan logging camp said it like this to a Christian who had not let his light shine. He said this, "I never before knew that you were a Christian. We've worked together for 2 years. And I didn't know you were a Christian." When a fellow asked me about my soul the other day, I said to him, "If so clean a chap as you could get along without religion, I believe I could take a chance on it myself of getting by without religion." My friend, we can't get by without Christ. There's a lot of difference between religion and Christ. Religion, Christianity. Let's look at what this fellow had to tell. He had a story to tell. In Mark 5 and verse 15 it says, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed." This is past tense. He was possessed. He wasn't possessed now. He was possessed with the devil. "And had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." First of all, I believe this man had peace in his life. You know what he had been doing? Running in the cemetery. He had been living in the cemetery. They had tried to bind him with chains, and they couldn't. He broke them. He was running and cutting himself with stones. First part of chapter 5 tells us this. But my friend Jesus met him. In fact, there are three miracles in chapter 5 of Mark. And Jesus has power over the demons of hell. He has power over disease. The woman with the issue of blood who touched Jesus. Friend, Jesus even has power over death. He raised Jairus' daughter back to life. This man had peace for the first time in I don't know how long. The Bible says here he was sitting. He was seated there with Jesus. Peace. We spoke a few Sundays ago on a verse I've got in there on the wall. It says in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." This man had peace. He had a story to tell. In Romans 5:1 it says, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This man had a story to tell. He'd been running in the cemetery. And the devils and that man, you know what, I've preached on this probably many times before here. But the devil needs a body through which he can work. And the demons in this man said, "If we have to leave this man, send us in to the swine that were feeding there on the hillside next to the Sea of Galilee." And Jesus gave them leave, and they had to leave, because Jesus has power over demons and disease and death. They left and went into these 2,000 swine, and they ran down the hillside and choked in the sea. This man had peace with God. The peace of God will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Bible says before Jesus came along that no man could bind this man, no, not with chains, neither could any man tame him. He was without hope, without God in the world. But look at him now. He's seated at the feet of Jesus. Who made the difference? Jesus did. Second, he was clothed. In the book of Luke, we have this same story. And Luke 8:27 says, "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." What a condition. You know what they tell us on the mission field? As soon as a person is saved, they put clothes on. If they've been going without clothes, they put clothes on. That's a sign of a Christian on the mission field. This man wore no clothes. The devil had him. Had him bound. But Jesus broke the bonds. This man was clothed, I believe, in two ways. Physically and spiritually. The Lord has done the same for us. He has clothed us with His righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." The best you can do today is not good enough. We have to trust Jesus for salvation. You know what God did for Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:21? "Unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." He clothed this former maniac of Gadara. He clothed him with his righteousness. And third, this man was in his right mind. Spiritual sanity. This man was in his right mind. And they were afraid. You know what the Bible says here in the book of James? He says, "Resist the devil. And he'll do what? Flee from you." You're fighting a losing battle to pal around with Satan. Young people, adults. You're fighting a losing battle to try to pal around with Satan. He has no place to take you but to hell. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. The first part of those two verses are up to us. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. The Lord has given us new directions to follow. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Lord wants to help us today. He wants to help us. He wants to give us peace that passeth all understanding. He wants today to clothe us with His righteousness. He wants to give us spiritual sanity. He was in his right mind. And they were afraid. You know what? There is not a Christian gathered in this church today who does not have a story to tell. What the Lord has done for you. I would say with the words of Jesus, go home and tell. Go home and tell your friends and neighbors and loved ones what the Lord has done for you. We have a story to tell. The word pray is in these verses twice. In closing our message today, I'd like to mention this. The people who own the swine, it says, they began to pray him to depart. Get out of our country. You have destroyed our swine. The maniac of Gadara said, he's now met the Lord, he is in his right mind, clothed, seated there with Jesus. It says he prayed him that he might be with him. God today is able to help you. He's able to help you. He's able to come into your life. He loves you. The invitation today is going to be for Christians as well as for those who don't know the Lord. Maybe you haven't been a witness that you know you should be. All of us can move up and follow the Lord closer. During this invitation, if the Lord has impressed on you to be a better witness, I want you to determine in your heart, first of all, that I'm going to be a better witness. And then if you feel led, come by and talk to me about it. I love you. I want our church to go forward this year. We don't have to wait till April 21st to be saved. You can be saved today. The Lord may come back before April 21st. Or you may have to go to meet Him before then. Don't wait another day if you are here and lost. If you're here and need to make some type of decision as a Christian, you do that as Brother Tom comes to lead us in this invitation hymn, page 217. Charlotte Elliott wrote this song, and she said, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." Why not today? Do what God is telling you to do. God bless you in this invitation as we stand.